Welcome to TBF, a Browns fans podcast.
Oh, can you believe it? I've been traumatized, and it won't stop.
Just a little bit.
It's just a simple Brown Steelers game. That's all.
Simple.
You just had the one job. Just the one. Anyway, here we are, week two. Didn't take long for there to be. Oh, I don't even know what you call this, but I tell you this, it's about time we get into this and talk about the debacle at, what the hell's the name of the field now? It's not Heinz Field anymore.
I can't even remember. Pronounce
it. I can't remember.
We used in, an A.
Investry or Askaskuski or and Fresco or some shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, dude.
What the fuck?
Hey, Jeff. You should. You come first in the alphabet. You should probably go first.
Yeah. Well, yeah, here's what we're gonna do.
I'll do that.
Yeah. Here's what we're gonna do, boys. We're gonna go with. I don't know. Are these feelings? Or are these observations? Anyway, Jeff, you first. Tell us about the game.
Okay. Here's my view of the game. I'm not going to talk about the injury yet. Tonya,
I'm not talking about that right now.
Okay. My view of the game is this. I'm still totally undetermined on the Browns, and my keys reasons for that from coming from this game is neither the Steelers or the Browns played spectacular. They both played each other really hard. We made more mistakes than them. To me, we gave this game away.
Yeah.
Either one of Watson's, either that the critical movement fumble that Watson gave up or the first pick six he gave up would have won the game. Either one of those didn't happen. Okay. Pretty confident in that. Two, I'm not sure where to place the defense now. I think our defense is in a good spot, but you have to wonder where Pittsburgh couldn't score last game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Against San Francisco, they couldn't score. Now, San Francisco has a great defense, but they couldn't score against them. It's not like they put up major points again up against us, okay? And there's some key things where they got, I mean, they got a whole 7 points from, or 6 points, because.
Well, they got 14 points the defense scored. Come on.
Yeah, okay, the defense scored 14 points, okay? So, if you put that in perspective, it looks a little skewed what our defense actually did and didn't do. Okay. We did not get to the quarterback but one time.
Right.
Which I found.
We sure did hurry his ass up a lot, though.
No, I didn't look at hurries, though. And we probably have quite a few. Okay. I did not have time. I haven't had time to look at that statistic. I usually do.
Kenny Pickett gets really fast when he's scared, evidently, because Darius Smith had his ass. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I know, man.
So, we had some blown tackles on Najee Harris there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That would have sealed the deal. Okay.
Yeah.
Because the defense could have won it too. So let's not. Well, I want to point out we can put it all on the offense, and offense is the major issue here. Okay. Because they had two big turnovers that could have just killed this. Okay.
Right.
We'd have won. Okay. But the defense could have sealed it. They could have tackled Harris in the backfield, and we wouldn't be talking about this right now.
Well, this much is true. And listen, give the defense this. They did, for the most part, for most of the game, do exactly that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, it was
they let him go that once, though.
Yeah. The guy had his hands around him.
Yeah.
He had his hands around him. I can't remember who
Darius
it was.
It was Darius Smith. Yes.
Yeah. He had his hands around him, and he didn't bring him down. And that was it. He picked up a whole first down plus.
Yeah.
I mean, yep. So now on what I did see that I liked. Okay, after I've talked about all I didn't like, okay, or it's suspect. What I did see that I liked, we had our spots where we moved the ball very well. Okay, we Cooper had great receptions. Njoku looked good.
Yep.
Okay. Moore looked all right for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Our whole receiving core actually looked fairly good in that game. Okay.
Yeah.
Whereas opposed to last game, it was like they weren't there. You know what I mean? They looked pretty good. Now, Watson still didn't complete a very good percentage of passes. Okay. But let's remember, we're playing Pittsburgh on primetime after they lost big.
He completed more than
half. And they are generally a good defense. Yeah, but he completed more than half. Look, let me show you something. Somebody posted up a figure, and it was a comparison. But it was actually, look, old coworker of mine sent this to me, okay? Obviously, he's going to send me this stuff. This is comparison of Deshaun Watson to Baker Mayfield so far this season.
Now Baker's Deshaun better.
Watson, Deshaun Watson, 389 yards. Baker Mayfield, 490. Deshaun Watson, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Baker Mayfield, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. This is the biggest glaring one to me, though. Those don't matter as much to me as this one right here. Deshaun Watson threw 2 games, 55% completion percentage. Baker Mayfield, 69% completion percentage.
Damn near 70.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. 29.3 QBR to 66.4 QBR.
He was 76% alone just for the last game. I was amazed.
Well,
what I'm telling you is that's a big... Now, what I was going to point out in this podcast, this is going to be my last point, and we can move to the next person, okay?
All right.
We're going to rag on Watson for this now, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But remember, Baker went through 2 seasons of subpar stats under Kevin Stefanski.
Okay.
And we've had if I was sit here and critique the things that I think about are wrong with the offense right now and how it isn't moving, maybe this and that, completion percentage is lower than this guy usually throws. Baker had 1 good season, great completion percentage, and then it just like tanked. He went to the playoffs. He had great completion percentage. He was over 65%. Then it just tanks. Okay. All I'm saying is this consistent 1, 2, 3 seasons, 4 seasons now straight. Okay. Well, we're 3 seasons now straight. Okay. Where it just don't seem like whatever quarterback we get in there is just hitting targets consistently enough at a starting quarterback completion percentage. Okay. Uh-huh. Brissett was doing it some games and some games not. This is you're into 3 different quarterbacks here. Now, one of them has been on 2 different other teams, 3 different other teams now. Right. And he's been able to put up some completion percentage numbers. I'm saying I want to blame Watson, and I do think Watson has to play better. I do not think he's back to an elite form. He's got work to do.
He's not elite form. No, no. Right.
Okay. But what I'm also going to put on this, though, am I a firm believer that I don't think right now if Watson wasn't playing under another coach, he might not look better than he does right now? I'm not a firm believer that I don't think that. Okay.
Well, let me is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay. You better hope that Stefanski is your answer, because if not, they're going to fire his ass. Okay. All I'm saying is that with all the unfortunate things that came out of this game, the most disturbing was the performance of Deshaun Watson, because it's not an improvement. Statistically, he was outperformed by Kenny Pickett on the same field. And Kenny Pickett sucked. Kenny Pickett had a 71.8 rating. But Deshaun Watson had a 70.3. Okay.
What did Kenny Pickett's?
71.8. Okay. 1.5 better than Deshaun Watson. And Kenny Pickett was arguably ass.
Mediocre.
Okay. No, he was ass in that game. He had a couple of good passes. Look, if all you can depend on from a guy is three good passes in a game, well, you got that out of Kenny Pickett and Deshaun Watson. That's it.
Right. Yeah.
Deshaun Watson was 22 of 40 for 235, a touchdown and a pick, a long of 29 for a quarterback rating of 70.3. Comparably, Kenny Pickett was 15 of 30. Okay. Exactly 50% on his completion for 222 yards, a touchdown, a long of 71. That gets you the other 1.5, guys. Okay.
I see that.
Deshaun Watson was not on target on almost anything he threw. Even the completions to Amari Cooper. They were Amari Cooper doing that.
He
looked shell shocked. And listen, and there are people absolutely fucking celebrating, okay, that Deshaun Watson played the way he did, because there are people that are actively wanting him to fail. You know this, right?
Oh, no doubt.
Okay, well, they're getting what the fuck they want. Okay, right now, they're getting exactly what they want. So, my one observation is the game, if we'd have had quarterback play at all, okay, we'd have won that game. But if you want somebody to blame on how and why we lost this game, first play of the game, pick six, we lost by less than one touchdown. There it is. The game was lost on the first fucking play from scrimmage.
Right.
Okay. Yep. Ill-advised throw. Why? Okay. Why would you throw a pass? Why would you call? Now, see, and here we don't know. I can guarantee you this. That was not his primary receiver on that fucking play. Because there's no fucking way you call. I don't care who you are. There's no way you call a play that could be, if thrown badly, if not handled properly, a pick six in the opening play of the game. Okay.
I want to know why you're passing on first down anyway. I hate it.
Okay, exactly. But that's neither here nor there, is it? Because I knew one thing that was inevitable. I didn't want to know it. My mind kept trying to take it out, but my heart knew it was true. The game was lost right then. My heart said to my whole entire body, we're going to lose this fucking game.
Dude. That emotional, you could feel the emotion go the other way when that happened. It was almost like that game, the playoff game, when Roethlisberger missed the snap.
Oh, I was looking for a total replay of that, because remember, we didn't stop there. See, thank God we have defense, okay? Or you'd have seen an absolute bloodbath in the first quarter.
Right.
Thank God we have defense. And the defense is awesome. The defense is so good that this team needs to spend whatever it needs to out of its cap space, the most cap space of any team in the league. Because this is the window, guys. This team, this defense can be absolutely special. Okay?
Yeah.
And when I say special, I'm talking about... Listen, everybody talks about these 49ers, their defense. Everybody talks about the Jets, their defense. Dallas, their defense. I don't care. The Browns have a better defense. The Browns have a better defense than any of those teams. If we had any offense at all, because any offense at all that we had got carted off the field with a, if not season-ending injury, possibly a career-ending injury for Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. In the meantime, the Browns have to They got a deal right now. You can't, and listen, you can't worry about Chubb's feelings on this. You can't worry about what the future is at this point. If you're Andrew Berry, you have to assume the worst. You are looking right now to plug in the guy that is best suited to fill in for Nick Chubb. I tend to agree with Jeffrey that that's probably Fred Taylor, okay, as opposed to Kareem Hunt. Although Kareem Hunt is the easiest logical thing to do.
I don't know why I thought his name was Jonathan Taylor.
No, Jonathan Taylor, that's the other guy.
It is Jonathan Taylor.
Oh,
Fred Taylor. Fred Taylor was a good running back,
but if we bring Fred Taylor back, I don't think things are going to
go. Yeah, that's going to be like that commercial. Why don't we unretire? Emmitt Smith asleep on the sideline. No, Fred Taylor. Yeah, we wish we could have Fred Taylor in his prime. Then we're going to the fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah, no doubt.
No, it is Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
Fred Taylor. See, I remember Fred Taylor. Fred Taylor played for Jacksonville, right?
Correct.
I'm not sure.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Really he good back. Great. Spent a lot of time injured, but really, really
spent
good
a lot of time injured, but boy, every moment he was on the field was a good one. I mean, it was just Fred Taylor could get shit done. But I mean, like, give Nick Chubb his due. Here's a guy that the last guy since the most recent guy before Nick Chubb who managed the over 5 yards of carry was what? Jamal Taylor? Jamal Charles.
Right.
And before that, it was, I can't remember who it is, but there's only three backs in history. One of them being Jim Brown, other than Nick Chubb, who've done what he's done.
Yeah, I think Nick Chubb had six yards.
Well, from what I was pulling, there's been some more backs to do it. It's a very small list still. But as far as like Hall of Famers, I think there's four different Hall of Famers that have
been. No, but we're talking about career.
I'm talking about career.
There's plenty of backs that have done it for a season. We're talking about for the career, since he'd been in the league until the day he went down. He's over 5 yards carry.
5.4.
5.4. That's career.
Quite a bit. 5.2. Sorry.
Yeah.
5.2.
For that game.
Which is quite a bit.
For that game, he was 6.4 a carry because he had 64 yards on 10 carries. It's real easy to do that math.
Right.
What I'm telling you is this, and it's very simply this. They better hope they can plug somebody in and get some kind of a running game, because without a running game and Deshaun Watson in the condition he's in right now, the Browns they're going to be lucky to win games, and the defense is going to do it for them. Okay.
Well, guess what? Here's an interesting statistic for you. Out of the running backs who are currently playing, right, that you would say have a chance to do that thing, right, other than Nick Chubb, right, who are currently have an average of five or more for their career, right? Guess who it is?
Who's that?
Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
Well.
All right.
Yeah, but he's going to cost you, dude. Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, he's going to cost you.
He's going to cost you $20 million. To sign him for 1 year.
And he's already had injury himself. So, I mean, but as far as replacing talent in any comparable way right now, there's not, even if you were able to pick other running backs from other teams, you'd be hard pressed to find one that was a better option than Jonathan Taylor. That's how good of an option Jonathan Taylor is. Okay. We could sit here and give you open availability to try to trade for any back in the league, right? And he wouldn't be very far down the list.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem acquiring Jonathan Taylor. No, it's not. The Browns have the most cap space of any team in the league. They could sign Jonathan Taylor tomorrow on a 1 year contract for anything he fucking wanted. Okay? Not a problem. The problem is Jonathan Taylor's not looking for a 1 year deal. There's no fucking back in the league that's looking for a 1-year deal.
Right. And that was my point about it. I saw it and I was like, okay, the complication here is that the Browns have to quickly go and assess Chubb, because here's why they have to do it. Okay. Because they go to Chubb and they're like, okay, how bad is this?
All they got to do is look at the replay.
Okay, but humor me right now. I got that. Okay, humor me right now. You were playing this like a front office exec and you're making an absolution decision. Okay, you're going to the doctors and you're like, is there any chance? Is this, what are we looking at here? How, if he does come back, how much are we looking, we're going to have of him? Okay, because if you sign Jonathan Taylor, now you have two prima donna backs. Okay.
See, that's the thing. First of all, if you sign anybody, it's on a 1 year. Okay. You're not doing a long-term deal with a back while Nick Chubb's in the balance. Okay. You can't do it. So it's why I believe Jonathan, he's not coming. That's why I believe he's not coming.
I'm not totally convinced he's not coming yet. Okay. If we had more behind the scenes of anything, I could be more convinced. I'm not convinced yet. To me, it all depends on how ownership views this season. Now, it's hard to do that off of two games and the two games we had. Had we won this game, I could see they'd be way more. I could get the feeling they're way more on the track of trying to get Jonathan Taylor. The same thing happened in a win. Okay, it's like, oh, you're 2-0. Looks like we got maybe the best defense in the league, possibly. Blah 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 blah. That's what could have happened after this game. Okay, this literally could have happened after this game. We, for all intents and purposes, almost shut down the Steelers offensively. Okay, and they got points off of their defense. Okay, we could have won this game, and we could have won into week three here. And like, oh, we got
to go get. I got a couple more points to make. And then I got to hand this off to you.
Okay, off to him.
Yeah. I told you Kenny Pickett sucked.
Yeah.
Okay, he sucks. He sucks. For 2 weeks now, he's been exactly who I knew he was. Okay? And Kenny Pickett, look, he's not a bad quarterback. I mean, he's every bit as good as Baker Mayfield in a down season. Okay? You know, with a hurt shoulder.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett, he can't lead the Steelers. He can't. He can't do it because he can't give the defense any support.
No.
What they got going right now on offense, his name is Najee Harris.
Yep.
Okay, and we shut him down.
They couldn't run the ball.
Again, we shut Najee Harris down, okay?
Yes, we did.
Najee Harris had 10 carries for 43 yards. Here, let me tell you something, though. When it fucking counted, he had a 21-yard run.
Yeah,
right.
That broke our fucking backs.
Yeah, I didn't want to get too much in that because, like you said, the defense really did play stellar. But the reality is, okay, as good as our defense is, and I think I agree with you, if the defense has another game that they put up where they pretty much are a brick wall, I'm going to have to concede we have one of the best defenses. We're right there. We're definitely in the top five to me right now. Okay? I really do think. But they had a chance. The defense also had a chance to end the game.
And by the way, we had him
in the backfield. We blew that tackle.
Yeah. The other point I was going to make, and then we got to hand it to Hugh, Jeff. I hear people saying we outdid them on third down efficiency, but 31.3% over 28.6% ain't outdoing anybody on anything. Okay? 5 of 16 over 4 of 14 might as well be the same damn thing as far as I'm concerned. I'm telling you, what you saw on that field was a defensive ball game. The Browns, with a 3-point lead, would have done better to just go 3 and out every time and punt the ball. I mean, 3 and out. I'm talking intentional. Okay. Just 3 and out every time and just punt the ball away. Hold them. Let them punt the ball. We could have done that for the rest of the game with a 3-point lead. We'd have won.
Yeah. Yep.
Because Deshaun Watson can't fumble the ball if he's handing it off.
Yeah.
Jerome Ford would have had like 48 carries or something, but so what?
I mean, he had 106 yards, you know, but
those were some ugly yards, and 65 of them came on one play, guys. Okay.
Yep.
I'm just saying. Yep. 69 of them, rather. Yeah. Okay. 106 yards on 16 carries looks great. Keep in mind, he had that reverse field success, and that's going to happen once in a fucking lifetime, guys. That wasn't by design. That was over pursuit on the Steelers' part, and you know they made us pay for the same thing later. Not as heavily, but I just I don't know what to tell you guys. I don't have a good outlook when it comes to this offense right now. Anyway, it's on you, Hugh.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm going to be a little bit general broad stroke with some of this stuff, not as specific as you guys have been. It was a hard game to watch, first of all. And, you know, started off, you know, from the very beginning, you're like, what in the hell is going on with that interception? I felt Bryant should have caught that pass, but I just wondered why they were throwing on first down. To me, Deshaun Watson looked very flustered and not knowing what to do and how to react. And in a lot of ways, I'm surprised. I just don't think it's all on him. I think that play calling is suspect still. The defense, I really liked what I saw in our defense. I thought we'd get more sacks than we did, but we did get a lot of hurries.
I don't think we got any sacks. One sack?
One, yeah.
Okay.
Our something two guys noticed, in the middle got third. Get a sack.
Something I noticed, and I wasn't sure why it was happening or how long of a period of time it was happening, but I was seeing a fair amount of zone, and I was like, what in the hell? Because those passes that Kenny Pickett got were, if I'm not mistaken, in zone coverage. Okay.
I don't think we played zone one. I think your eyes deceive you.
I saw he was wide open. Now, whether it was around,
he was wide open. That's because somebody missed their assignment. No, we were playing man all fucking night long.
Okay. Anyway, I like the defense. I think we're only going to get better. I think that, you know, when you get these two teams together, you could throw stats out the window. It's a brawl always. Pittsburgh didn't play that well. TJ Watt, okay, of course, played well.
I want to interject one point here.
Yeah.
Last week it was the rain. This week we played the Steelers. You can throw stats out the windows. You can't hold the offense. Everything's an excuse for this fucking offense right now. Okay.
You know, I mean, they got to get off the schneid. I think when we play Pittsburgh, something, we got to get the monkey off the back. But when you get these two teams together,
I thought we did that 2 years ago when we went there and we won the final game of the season, went back and won the wild card. I thought we did that.
Yeah. Let's face it. This game, you know, we should have won. No doubt. I'm not going to use it as an excuse because turnovers is what lost this game. And 50% of those were probably Deshaun Watson.
No, so 75% of them.
75% of the turnovers?
Yeah, three turnovers. Wow. Three of four turnovers were on Deshaun.
Oh, shit. I thought we had more turnovers than... Oh, no. You're right. So... But I think there's also a lot of overreact. This is the second game. You know, I think that there is, I don't think they're going to have a difficult time rebounding. The loss of Kareem Hunt was devastating. I think that knocked the wind out of them for a while, at least.
No, it was the loss of Nick Chubb, not Kareem Hunt.
I'm sorry. I meant.
We're trying Nick to Chubb. Sign Kareem Hunt. We can't have lost him already. No.
I mean, the magnitude of the injury was just ridiculous, and I'm hoping it's not career ending, although it very well could be. And I don't want to put my energy there, but let's see. I think that Deshaun's got to work on something. Didn't look
everything.
Good.
Everything. Okay. Tell me one people. Thing he did good.
He completed a couple passes. I like the downfield.
So did Kenny Pickett, and he sucked.
I like the one down. Listen,
I like the one that the receiver caught too. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah.
I just think that Browns fans are jaded so much by us having been bad so long that when we see anything that remotely touches bad, we're like, no, oh my God, get rid of him. This is that.
And the I wish thing. Deshaun Watson were remotely touching bad right now. That would be 200% better than he is.
I don't think it's, I know we want it to happen right away. I think he's still a work in progress coming back to what he once was.
I don't think he ever gets there. Not from where he's at right now.
I can't say that yet, but
I mean, what in your mind gets him there? I
thought we were going to finish.
Okay.
I just want to finish and then you can say anything you want. So I think it's a good idea of bringing Kareem Hunt back. He already knows the game. He knows, you know, he's played with these guys before. It seems like a logical decision. You wouldn't have to pay him as much. Honestly, I think that's the route they're going to go. Although Jonathan Taylor, boy, I mean, his stats, I was looking up his stats and everything compared to Kareem Hunt's, and it's like, it's close on some things, but it's not on others, and he's better.
Well, he's better, but he's also more injury prone than Kareem Hunt.
I'm really depressed about the loss. I'm even more depressed about losing Nick Chubb because of who he is and how good a guy he is and everything. But I just think that we get it back together and we beat the Titans. We should have won this game. Stat-wise, even though it's not a lot better in some, it is definitely noticeably better in some stats. And other than a couple good plays, maybe a few good plays by Pittsburgh. And listen, I'm sorry, they can say what they want to, but that pass interference on that last play.
Oh, it was egregious.
No, we can't blame it at all. I get that. We can't blame that for losing the game. But it would have given us another chance had they called the made that.
It was egregious. It was an obvious pass interference. The dude had jersey in both hands. Okay. But
yeah.
But again, you got to play better than that in the first place. Okay.
Let it come down to that.
You don't start a game with a pick six. Okay. And listen, everybody knew the Steelers were going to be pumped for this game. Right.
Right.
It's not like the Browns didn't know that.
You know, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers have a right to be happy over the victory, but don't get too happy. Don't be too proud because you guys did not play that damn good in that game.
All you need to do is look at Mike Tomlin and understand that the Steelers understand they suck. Okay? The Steelers, listen. Okay, what did he say during his halftime comments?
I can't remember.
I got it. You know, there's some things, there's some adjustments we got to look at and making and everything, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say hats off to them. They're doing a really good job on defense.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, they were actually more efficient than us because we had the ball 35 minutes and some change and they had it only 24 and some change. So
not their defense scored 14 points, guys.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say that. We didn't have a defensive score in this game. Do you understand that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Our defense scored no point.
Did we get two interceptions?
No, because Kenny Pickett only threw one, so there's no way we got two.
Oh, okay.
Instead, I'd like to point out, if there is something I could point out that I think Watson should be doing better at, okay, being the quarterback he is, Watson just last game, he was sacked six times. Pickett was sacked two times.
Yeah.
Watson is a mobile quarterback.
Yep.
Well, yeah, but let's at least blame the line a little bit for that. If there's one thing I'd be willing to give Watson some of a pass on,
is that.
Yeah, I mean, he takes two steps. He takes a three-step drop, and it's like, oh, I got to get the fuck out of here. Okay. So,
well, I mean, we got to do better to me. I cannot blame Watson for that. I can just as much say that, but that is something that does need to be addressed. We have a mobile quarterback. He shouldn't be getting touched more. Look, they had 11 quarterback hits anyway.
Yeah.
Just quarterback hits. We had nine. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So we're missing Jack Conklin. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And DeJuan Jones, as good as he may or may not be as a rookie, is a rookie.
And I also want to point out that Miles, he did have a quarterback hit, okay, in the game. But for the most part, as far as what Miles usually does in a game, he pretty much got shut out.
Well, let's just say this. On the other side of the ball, TJ Watt had a couple of plays, but for the most part, it was quiet game when it came to calling the jersey of TJ Watt.
Okay, true. But it, in his normal sense, but here's your comparison. Miles Garrett, combination tackles, one solo tackle, one quarterback hit, one. That's it. No hurries in the game, nothing. TJ Watt, one sack, four combined, two solo, two assists.
You know why
Miles two tackles for loss.
You know why Miles wasn't successful, hits. Right? You know why? He didn't do his point guard dribble.
Yeah. Well, look, I was going to point out in it is this. They took Miles out. They chose to make sure Miles didn't. The rest of the line played good. The two guys in the middle, they both had half a sack. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Taki Taki got a sack.
Taki Taki's sack was a thing of beauty, I want to say.
Za'Darius did have a tackle for loss. He had a couple, one tackle and one combined. You didn't hear a lot out of him either. They tried to play to not let them do it, and the rest of the line stepped up. That shows because they did not score a lot of offensive points. Okay. So we still got pressure and things like that. I mean, we still got nine quarterback hits. Okay.
All right.
To their 11. Okay. We were still there. So. If you look at that, that is a good sign. We had an off game from Miles Garrett, and still our defense, was very stellar.
Hey guys, before I forget, one more thing about Deshaun, and this is the one glaring thing that bothered me. He was holding onto the ball too long, and I felt that there's no way that all of our receivers are being covered that well, and so that's why I'm not sure what the problem was there. But I still thought that all throughout the game off of Deshaun totally, I still don't like the way Kevin's calling that game.
I'll put it this way, though. If you look at Amari Cooper, he made some really tough catches in that game.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I want to say this about even the successful passes that Deshaun had.
Yep.
The one thing that was consistent about his passing game was he was late. And that's because he has developed a disturbing habit of doing a double pump, double hitch, whatever the fuck you want to call it, before he's throwing the ball. And it's wasting a second, and every second matters.
I hope they look at that in film and bring his attention to it.
There's one thing I got from that game, okay? Amari, all that talk about Amari Cooper ain't got it no more. Amari Cooper is still very good.
Yeah,
and he made some catches in that game.
And if he was playing with a groin, gosh, I can't wait till he gets the groin better.
Yeah, I mean, he made some really good catches in that game.
Amari is the class of our receiving squad. I like Elijah Moore. I kind of want to see the rookie more, okay? Cedric Tillman, is that his name?
Yeah, he's a good receiver.
Yeah, how would I know? I haven't seen him really doing anything in a game.
Dude, I've seen him catch many passes where I was impressed. I think
that's a problem. So everybody saw that in the preseason. I'm talking about, I want to see him now.
Yeah, I think he could stand in for Amari Cooper if he had got injured.
But here's the problem. I want to see him now. There's no reason he can't be on the field now. Okay? Then we're passing the ball plenty of times. Come on. Deshaun Watson threw the ball 40 fucking times. Okay. You can come on. Every wasted throw that was thrown to David Bell. Okay. Cause I just have to say, David Bell, although guess what? He caught three balls. three were thrown at him. So maybe I should shut the fuck up. But the rookie's got no stats because he was never in the game.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Right now, I mean, this is for fruit for thought. Amari Cooper had at least three tough catches he caught in that game. Mm-hmm. He was targeted 10 times, caught 7.
That's it. Yeah.
I mean, that's a pro. I mean, we did all that talk we got, but when we were getting Amari, was he still? Nah, he's definitely still. If he's lost a step, he's still got all the hands.
Elijah Moore. Remember early on in minicamp and in training camp, we're hearing Elijah Moore and Deshaun Watson have developed a chemistry.
Yes.
Well, okay. I don't know about that. He was targeted 9 times, only caught 3 balls. Okay. Right. I think it's a fixation for Deshaun, not a chemistry. Okay. And I think he needs to stop.
Okay. Something I did like out of Ford. Okay. We can critique Ford's running. Okay.
Ford, yes, we can. Yes. We can.
Ford looks like a good receiving running back.
Okay. I mean, listen. Jerome Ford is who he is, and he is not a bell cow back, guys. All right.
That's David Bell was not targeted 3 times and caught.
And caught all 3 of them, so I should shut the fuck up about David Bell.
Njoku was targeted 4, caught all 4.
4 for 4. There you go.
But it looks like our big discrepancies are Elijah Moore is not, you're not getting much out of those targets to him.
Yeah, but how much of that is Deshaun being off target? See, that's my point. Oh, it's a lot. It's a lot because Deshaun wasn't really on target with. Come on. Even the catches that Cooper made were because Cooper made the catches. It wasn't because it was perfectly placed ball. And if you want to know, okay, I was reading here. Let me pull this out because this will be good. Did you hear? You heard what Deshaun Watson said about his own performance?
No.
Okay, let me read that to you. Okay, hold on just a second. I got to get this. Oh, I got to pull this up. Deshaun Watson in the news for his. And, oh, by the way, the league will not discipline Deshaun Watson for making contact with the referee. It was incidental. Browns Deshaun Watson avoids ejection. We'll evaluate, discuss all plays. No, Deshaun Watson on his performance. Let me just do that on his performance. Because his words say a lot because they were kind of like what I said. Deshaun Watson on expletive performance. I feel like tonight it was shitty as far as that. There's some plays that we capitalized and we did good, but as far as my part, it's not good enough. I put that on me. The first play, yeah, we can get into the tactics of receiver running out and putting the ball out and this and that and the third, but I got to give him a better ball. The forced fumble for a touchdown for them, we can say, this guy can do this, but I've got to protect the ball. We're not going to put it on anyone else. You put it on me. I can take the full blame. I can take the criticism, and I'm going to do that. Good, Deshaun, because you deserve that.
Okay. Well, I want to point out something. Okay, I'm going to say something, okay?
Yeah.
Now, we tend to play cliche when a guy does that, okay? But then you don't see every guy do that.
Okay? Oh, no. I applaud him. I applaud him for owning up to it, but it is his to own. Okay.
It's not Kevin
Stefanski coming out saying, hey, this one's on me. This is a guy who performed like shit saying, you know what? I looked at that thing on the tablet as I got back to the sideline. I was like, oh man, I fucking suck. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you get to see how he responds now. What I'm saying is he won the first game. You can win the first game, look at whatever way and go, okay, I'm on the road. We won this, okay? He lost it. Now he gets to seriously critique himself where he gets to look at the stat board and go, we should have won this. Yeah. One of those mistakes don't happen. We win this. You know, so he gets to seriously critique himself. Okay. Now, what I'm hoping is happening behind the scenes, okay? Because I want to say this. I'm still a firm believer. Now, this is 3 years straight. We're looking at the same. If I were doing anything in life, right?
Uh huh.
And I did three things straight, where I was trying to accomplish a task, right? And we had right. three different integers. But a thing within those integers and a thing that should be happening for that task to be happen correctly, right? Keep being the same downfall. Now, if you had different downfalls, I'm like, could just be unlucky, right? But the same downfall, the completion percentage has been bad in this offense through all of the quarterbacks who've played through it the last 3 years.
Okay, I won't dispute that.
Okay. What I'm saying is at some point we got to look and like, okay, well, is it the quality of the plays? Okay. Mm-hmm. Are the plays, it's the play calling asking too much. Okay.
Oh yeah, that's possible. I mean, listen, you ain't going to get me defending Kevin Stefanski's play calling. Okay. I can tell you that, but opening line on the article that I just read to you, Deshaun Watson's comments. I just have to read this to you. The Cleveland Browns $230 million quarterback played like a $12 quarterback in Monday night's 26-22 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay. People are having a field day with this. Listen, half of the people, if not more, are not rooting for Deshaun's success. Okay, they are rooting for Deshaun's abject failure because they believe he's guilty of the things he was accused of and hasn't really been held accountable. So him failing is sauce on that goose.
Right. All right? I would say I'll make one more point about that completion percentage. I'm a little off. Brissett was managed out of the games he played. He posted a 64%. Okay, 12 touchdowns.
Yeah, I was going to say something, but I figured if you looked it up later, you'd figure it out. Brissett didn't do too bad.
Every quarterback but Brissett.
Boy, but letting him move on to the Commanders is looking like a mistake. He could be the backup. I'm just saying.
He could be the backup right now, but I understood why they did it. They don't want the style of play to change. Okay, Brissett, it's clearly going to change the style. Okay, that is an absolute. But in some cases, a lot of teams would be like, that's a good thing that it changes. So, I mean,
yeah.
But I've noticed the quarterbacks that they have put on the roster, that style doesn't have to change from Watson to the next quarterback if something were to happen. You know, so they're still mobile.
Look, if Deshaun keeps playing this way, everybody's going to be calling for the rookie. Okay?
Well, what Deshaun needs to understand, too, though, is this. Okay, he doesn't have it all back, right? Maybe he's going to slowly get it, okay? I mean, look, I remember the year that Peyton Manning went off, didn't the first two games, if I'm correct, he people were talking, wasn't his interceptions a little higher? He was still scoring points. Oh,
Peyton Manning's first year in the league. First couple years in the league. I'm talking
about Denver. Now his first. Oh. No. Now I remember Peyton Manning because I used Peyton Manning's first year in the league religiously to explain why people should shut up and let things develop. Okay. His first year in the league, he was an interception machine.
Oh yeah.
Like the first eight games. Now he did finish his rookie year off strong, and after his rookie year, he went nothing but up. Okay,
but so
if you base Peyton Manning off of his first year, I mean
he'd have been cut. They'd have moved on from him,
right?
So let me use that and say this, and tell me if you agree or disagree. And I'll quote Drew Brees or paraphrase whatever he said. It sometimes takes a quarterback 5 to 7 years to develop into who and what they are going to be in the NFL. And not many people are Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, or was Josh Allen right off the rip. So with that being said, Deshaun Watson's coming back. We expect him to be exactly stellar right away. Is that not unrealistic?
Well, I'll comment on that.
Let me just say this. First of all, we don't expect anything. For the Browns to be successful, Deshaun Watson has to be. This is not about, is Deshaun Watson going to have a career? Deshaun Watson is the quarterback of the Browns, and the Browns are at a point where the rest of the team outside of that position are in a window where they can actually compete for championships, but they're being held back by a quarterback who can't.
So it's almost impossible to be
It's almost impossible. No, what I'm trying to tell you is that Jimmy Haslam has once again thrown the fucking future of this team into the pit over a bad decision on quarterback.
I just don't want to throw the towel in on him yet. I think he's going to show.
Well, if you're going to wait 5 to 7 years for it, the towel's already thrown in. The rest of the team may wait.
No. Excuse me. Let me clarify. I don't mean he's going to take 5 to 7 years. I just meant because he's just coming back. I didn't mean we got that long to wait. Well, it's taking that long.
There is a curve. You don't have two seasons. This is the Browns window, guys. You don't understand.
Yeah,
you don't put a defense like this together all the time.
Let me say, because like what you're saying is what a lot of people are saying is like, well, it's going to take time. I understand something. And I keep making this comparison. The Browns are in the same situation the Chargers were in. You cannot sit here and say, well, I'll give them a season. No, you can't. That's not how talent works in the NFL. When they come up and they have to pay them, you're going to have to start getting rid of people, and you get another guy in and hope they can fill that spot. And then eventually it's not going to happen one time. OK, so what I'm saying, this Pittsburgh is going through that now. We've been talking forever. They always get a guy. They're finally starting to not get that guy to replace that guy. OK, that happens. Now, to get back to what Watson is in a very unique position for an athlete. OK, and we do not see all the time. Watson, you're sitting here talking about Lamar Jackson, blah, blah, blah. Had Watson not got suspended in the first place, he would be that exact guy that you're talking about. He started his career off very strong rookie year. Okay. I mean, this isn't a guy you didn't think was going to be talented off of his rookie year.
He was carrying an offense in Houston.
Exactly.
He was putting up Pro Bowl numbers on an offense that sucked.
Right. His first six games in the league. Okay. 19 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 61% throwing. Season two, he comes 68%. Okay. 4,000 yards. 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Next season after that, 67%, 3,800 yards, 12 interceptions, 26 touchdowns.
Hold on,
70%, he's almost 5,000 yards.
He's on a pace right now to get about 1,500 yards on the year. He's on a pace
Now, if we go in comparison here, right? So now we start comparing. He was already that guy. What the direct comparison to give to him right now is a guy who's been out, comes back.
Michael Vick.
Okay, look. And okay, if we talk about Vick, it took like 2 seasons for Vick to get back to a semblance of Vick, but he was too old then. Okay. And then when he got back, he got what, 1.5 starting season out of Philly? And he looked good in it, right? Yeah. But they couldn't last past that because he's old. Okay.
So how old is Deshaun compared to when Vic came back?
He's much younger, but that's not the point.
Not
though.
Much. 27. Come on.
Okay. The point.
How old was Vic? I got to look this up.
Throw all that away. The point is this: any athlete of any age that sits for 2 years in any sport, any of them, is going to look like boo when they come back. That's why, if we go back to the podcast, that was my gripe with it. It wasn't that I didn't like the talent of Deshaun Watson. I didn't like the fact that they signed him for so much money. And it's an athlete coming back to a sport after sitting for 2 years. No sport has this. Michael Jordan didn't do it.
Well, no, I understand that. But here, the problem is not Deshaun, guys. Okay, the problem is that the Browns signed Deshaun. Okay, the problem is that the Browns need a guy who can play fucking now. Okay? And that's not Deshaun. Michael Vick, by the way, was 1 year older than Deshaun Watson when he came out of prison. He was 28. Deshaun Watson is 27. Okay?
I thought he was 26. My bad.
Deshaun Watson is 27 years old. Okay? Deshaun Watson is 27 years old. And well, by the way, he's getting older every day. Okay?
You gotta believe that the Browns, the coach, everybody's talking to this kid and saying, look, we got to work on this shit. You got to get this shit.
Well, here's the thing. What I'm saying, though, the Browns as an organization, that's what you have to do. They have to do. But what has to realistically be looked at, okay, is the Browns took a risk. They went for the talent. I'm not complaining about that, okay? You got to take the risk. What you got to understand with the risk is you get criticism if the risks don't work, okay? You paid $230 million. You're paying him like he's elite top five. He's not playing like it right now. Maybe he will in a year or so or whatever, but will you still have whatever team? That's going to take work to replace guys and whatever and keep the talent level, okay? Now, what happens if he never gets back to it? Then you're even in worse position. You've mortgaged your future
for nothing.
Right. What I'm saying is it's a risk. You have to take risk in sports. This is the risk that they took. They're in it now, okay? But people putting on how much we should expected it to happen and stuff. The statistics on how this may not go good in the high percentage, it may not go good. It can be seen throughout all sports. There is no, you name me the sport that has a guy that's set out for 2 years and he's come back like he never left.
Right.
There is none. They don't exist. Okay. They don't exist in any professional anything.
Well, now, I could take a professional Michael Jordan gamer. Took one season to get his shit together.
Okay, it did took, yes, but he was also only out 1 year.
Right.
Okay, right. So I could take, let me finish what I'm saying. I could take a professional from any freaking thing and put them on cold ice to where they're not doing that thing, okay? And they will not come back the same way.
Well, no, I understand that. I get all that. And listen, Deshaun Watson's poor performance is not unexpected by me. I didn't expect that Deshaun Watson was going to. I am skeptical whether Deshaun Watson will ever reach the level of play he was at. Because of the off time. You guys can go back and listen to the episodes from last season when they made the deal. My problem is this. I don't see improvement in Deshaun Watson today over what I saw in the final six games last year. I do not see an improvement. The stats are virtually identical. The stats are virtually identical. This is not good. Right now, this is not good. Indicators are not good. Okay? I'm not judging Deshaun Watson and saying, we're fucked. But we're close to it, buddy. And all I'm saying is he either steps up and gets his shit together or it's going to be a long goddamn year.
Oh, the only other point I will make to this is this, and this is also what I'm saying, okay? And this is why it makes it such a crazy, delicate situation. This is a unique situation that Watson is in. You don't see it all the time, okay? In anything is we could pop up six games and he's just looked mediocre the whole season through six games. And the seventh game he pops in is like, he's going to look like,
well, I can't wait for the game. It starts clicking for him. Cause I'd really like to see him do well. I think we would enjoy it. I mean, you're going to enjoy Deshaun Watson if he can ever get back to the level he was at. Okay.
Hey, I'll just say that. NFL will not discipline Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson for contact with, yeah. Oh, you? Oh, I didn't. Yeah. I thought you thought told they were going to.
Okay. No, I said the NFL said they're not going to, that the contact was incidental. I literally said that 5 minutes ago.
This is all right.
But yeah, they're not going to because they said it was incidental. But I just want you to go and look at the film. The NFL, for whatever reason, is being very lenient with Deshaun on this idea that the contact was incidental.
Yeah, they said inadvertent.
inadvertent, whatever. Now, it was very vertent. Go look at the damn clip. Okay. It was, he pushed that dude the hell out the way. Okay. Now, again, and the flag wasn't thrown then, so I didn't figure the league was going to do anything. But the what's of more concern to me is the double foul for the same thing. You know, it's one thing to accidentally get a guy's mask and then pull him along, but Deshaun did it again in the same game.
Push that the ref?
No. Grabbed a guy's face mask.
Yeah, but
he got called for that twice. No, he got called for that twice in the same game.
I understand, but he was trying to stiff arm. It wasn't, okay. And that was inadvertent.
Okay, Hugh, if you stiff arm toward a guy's face mask, guess what you're going to get called for? You don't stiff arm a guy in the face mask.
Chubb does it all the time and never gets called.
Yeah, okay, but
he doesn't. He doesn't wrap his fingers around it either.
But no, I'm saying with the grabbing of the fingers around the face mask, what I'm trying to say is that was inadvertent. He didn't do that intentionally.
Okay, but he did it twice in the same game.
Yeah, I think that's uncharacteristic.
That's uncharacteristic, ass. Okay, first of all, I don't think any of us have enough experience with Deshaun Watson to say what is or is not characteristic of this guy.
I don't think you'll see that again.
I don't know. I am concerned when I see an error like that happen twice in the same game. Getting away. If you're a running quarterback, getting away from people is something you do all the time. Okay? This is not new to Deshaun Watson. And I think I'm going to try to do some film study here and go back and look at his days in Texas and see how many times he's called for face masks, because I look at that as a bad habit.
Yeah, that is a bad habit.
Yeah. And so if that's the best you can do, trying to stiff arm somebody, stop trying. Okay.
Yeah, dude. And
bottom line, I mean, this is pile on Deshaun. Fine. He's the fucking quarterback of the team that just lost in a miserable way. Okay. Largely due to the poor quarterback play. Okay. This is it. This is what happens. Okay. I hope that gets better. It's hard for me to imagine it getting better given the frustrating play calling guy that Kevin Stefanski can be. And frustratingly poor quarterback play. You put those two things together and it does not bode well for the Browns offensively.
No, it doesn't. I got to ask you guys a question. So I looked at the video several times and there's a lot of mention of it from pundits and so forth. And I don't know if the NFL is going to look at it or not, that Fitzpatrick, that may have been intentional because you're not supposed to go low. And that guy was the guy that was tackling him, Nick Chubb, would have been down either way. So what do you think?
I don't think Minka Fitzpatrick intentionally targeted his knee. Okay. I do think
but he shouldn't have gone low. You're not supposed to go low like that, right?
Okay. That's fine. Minka Fitzpatrick, by the way, on that play, also went out of the game with a chest injury, which sent him to the hospital.
Which I'm sure would make him think that he wish he wouldn't have done what he did.
Exactly. I mean, Minka Fitzpatrick's not going to be playing next week either. It's a serious chest injury.
Man, I'm trying to see where he injured his chest on that.
That's exactly it. Nobody can figure it out. Troy Aikman was scratching his head on that one. Really? But that's what happened. That's what they're calling it, a chest injury.
That's wow.
But I mean, listen, it was fucked up. I have not seen the moving video of that play and do not want to. Okay. I have seen the still of what happened to Chubb's leg, and that was enough for me. I advised somebody that I know not to look at it, and they did anyway, right, Jeff?
I was a medic in the Army and a lab tech, I look at it. Some things still bother me. Like, I think blood bothers me, but don't get me wrong. It was gruesome. It was horrible.
I'm going to say this about it. I watched live the kid on, Kentucky a long time ago. His leg gave out on him on a jump.
Oh yeah. Where it just kind of folded. Yeah.
I've watched, man, the kind of injuries I've watched live in sports are ridiculous. I've caught them all. I've caught the Paul George one. Okay. And to me, that's the biggest comparison I can almost make. Oh,
yeah, the Paul George show where he wrapped his
It's just how bad it looks. But the good thing about the Paul George one for him was he broke. And it sounds bad because if you think about it, it's like, no, that's worse, isn't it? But from a healing standpoint, it's better. His actual bone snapped in half.
Yes.
Okay? So it means that bone heals. It actually heals back stronger, and he had no joint damage.
Right.
Okay. Chubb's leg did sort of the same thing as Paul George's, right? Except his break is at the joint, man.
Yeah. Listen, I was, you know, when he went down and I was like, oh my God, Chubb's down. And then you hear Aikman say, we're being told that the view from the other side is too gruesome to show.
Okay. Ooh-wee.
And I was like, well, God damn. Thank God they're not showing it. Cause I keep remembering that Super Bowl with the 49ers and the Bengals, Hugh, where Crumry. I think Jeffrey was too young on that Super Bowl to remember it, where Crumry's leg was just waving in the air.
And Joe Theismann, remember that one?
Oh yes. Oh.
Look, yeah, the way when anything I've ever read medically says breaks at joints are the worst.
Right. And so, listen, for Andrew Berry's part, and you know, you want to get the actual determinations from the doctors and everything as they come in. But honest to goodness, there's nothing he needs to figure out now. We know Chubb's season's over, and anybody with eyes can question at this point and maybe his career. The Browns need to stay there and support Chubb and help him in his rehabilitation and try to get him back if he wants to get back. But the idea that you're ever going to have the Nick Chubb that you had before this injury is probably, that's fantasy.
Unlikely. Yeah.
Okay, so the Browns from the organizational standpoint. I don't know about that, Hugh. He almost didn't come back from the first one when he was in college. We almost never had Nick Chubb. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and it was a very similar injury that happened to him in the University of Georgia during his sophomore year. Okay? This is not new to Nick Chubb. Okay, so, yeah, I suppose if anybody could, he will, but let's be honest, as the general manager of this team, Andrew Berry needs to be moving on. You don't have time to mourn the guy and then not fill the position, okay? He's got to fill the position, and he's got to fill it not only for this season, but he's got to look at long term. So if you get a guy that you sign on a one-year deal, and this is why I agree with Jeffrey that, to me, the more prudent signing might be Taylor, okay, because Taylor performs well for you, you get to the Super Bowl, right? Well, just say you go to the Super Bowl and maybe you don't win the Super Bowl, but you get there, right? Well, you're going to want to sign him for the next day. You got to get a guy who's going to be worth re-signing. Yeah, bring him in on a one-year deal, but what about next year?
Right.
You got to get a guy that's worth re-signing. Cam Akers is not that guy. Leonard Fournette, not that guy. Okay? It's Kareem Hunt or it's Taylor. And honestly, I don't know. I don't know how much, you know, Hunt still has in the tank. But it's a feel-good thing because remember, Kareem Hunt is hometown kid too. He's from Cleveland.
Yeah, and he wants to play. And I know he wants the big contract. Maybe the Browns will compensate him.
They'll give him a good 1-year deal. They'll give him $15 million for the season.
Yeah.
Okay. He'll get that, but that's not what him or any other back is looking for. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Well, I hope he comes back. It would do my heart. Because listen, I'm sorry. I like Ford, but to have him as your feature back, it's not the same as either one of those.
Yeah. I mean, why did we not keep D'Ernest Johnson?
What the fuck? Thank you very much. I was like, why in the world are you going to keep Ford? How do you keep
Chris Ford over D'Ernest Johnson?
That's absolute craziness.
I'll point this out about what you just said about that. Okay. Here's my point. I didn't realize we didn't keep D'Ernest Johnson, and my misgivings of us not, because people could come up now and be like, well, what roster is he on? You know what I mean? And what's he doing? He's not starting or nothing. Okay. But he's a guy who on two occasions proved he can come in and do the same things that Chubb and Hunt were doing.
Exactly.
I mean, we can't dispute. You can't dispute that. Okay. He did that two times.
Yeah, because we saw him do it. We saw him do it.
On two different occasions, we saw him do it. So whatever he was doing, he at least knew how things worked in this offense enough to pick up yardage consistently, not just a big 70-yard and then boop, 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 boop.
Right.
He was consistent.
That's right. Outside of the
4 yards a carry.
Outside of the 69-yard reverse field thing, which was a stroke of luck. It was great. It's great that Jerome Ford had the speed to do it. Don't get me wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
But come on, you didn't expect that, right?
No, not at all.
Okay, you were shocked as I was, and so was he. Okay, and the rest of his game was more like what you're going to get from him.
Was D'Ernest Johnson off the team last year?
No, he played last year.
D'Ernest Johnson played last year?
Yeah.
Why don't I remember that? I thought he was
no idea.
Because
no.
I was like, you know, you keep Demetric Felton, and you don't keep
D'Ernest Johnson was on the team last year.
Okay. That's fucked up, dude. I don't know why they let him. Where is he at, Alan, by the way?
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville? Yeah. Okay. He's on Jacksonville.
How's he doing?
He ain't running much on Jacksonville. I mean, he's got 2 attempts for 4 yards.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's right. He's getting 2 yards of carry.
It doesn't support our opinion very well either, does it?
He's getting 2 yards of carry. Yeah, it's you want to be mad. There's nothing to be mad at right now because it was a Brown Steelers game. Those always are crazy. I agree. But come on, you guys know this going in. They should have been putting their head down and running the ball right out of the gate. If it ain't for a pick six at the beginning of that game, we win that game.
Yeah,
Kevin Stefanski's going to get enough of the shit. I know what'll fool them. They won't be expecting me to pass on first down, first play of the game.
Our field goal kicker, our kicker showed a little humility and missed one.
Well, dude. I mean, you're going to miss one. And if you're going to miss one, guess where you're going to miss it? Field goal kickers, place kickers hate the former Heinz Field, whatever the fuck it's called, Investree Field or whatever it is, some bullshit like that. They hate kicking at that stadium. But he turned right around and made a 55-yard. I mean, he made one at 43, missed one at 43, and then said, fuck it, I'll do 55. Problem was, the kicking for the other team went just fine.
How many yards did Najee Harris have?
34 something. It was low. It was low. Hold on. Najee Harris had 43 yards.
So, and then 54 yards total?
55 for the whole team.
Okay.
And that's because Their other running back, Warren, had 6 carries for 20 yards. But then you had Austin, which he had negative 2 yards. And then you had Kenny Pickett, who had negative 6 yards. So you take the 43 and the 20, that gets you 63 minus the 8. That's 55. Now, on our part, we didn't have anybody anywhere, Deshaun Watson included, nobody had negative total for yards. So there's something we did good. Hey, you want to hear the stats that matter today?
Yep.
Okay, 20 first downs by the Browns, 9 by the Steelers. Again, third down conversion efficiency, 5 for 16 for 31.3% for the Browns, 4 for 14 for 28.6% for the Steelers. So no real victory there, but, you know, we did win that battle by the small margin we did. Fourth down efficiency, we were 0 for 2. We went for it twice and didn't make it either time. They didn't go for it on fourth down. Total net yards, the Browns 408, the Steelers 255. Red zone efficiency, the Browns were 2 for 3. The Steelers were 2 for 2. Oh, I'm sorry. Those are field goals. I'm sorry. We were 2 for 3. They were 2 for 2. Red zone efficiency, we were 2 for 3, 67%. The Steelers were 0 for 0 for 0.
They
never got in the red zone. Goal to goal efficiency, we were 2 for 2. The Steelers 0 for 0 for 0 because they never got there. Final score, 22, Steelers 26. So time of possession, again, one of those games where, you know, we tell you, every time we look at these stats, if you win the majority of these statistics, you're going to win 8 times, 9 times out of 10. Well, this is that one time that you ain't, because with 35 minutes and 28 seconds time of possession, that's not enough to overcome. Listen, there were 4 fumbles, okay, and an interception. So there were 5 turnovers, 3 of which were on Deshaun. The other 2, one was the Njoku fumble. I don't know what the other one was. But there were 4 fumbles. We lost 3 of them. So there was 1 fumble that we recovered. I don't remember it. And yeah, it's just, it is what it is, guys. But that's a game that we should have, could have, would have won. Should have, could have, would have. If it hadn't been for a pick 6 on the first play, dude, we would have.
And we are sitting in. Okay, I went to the cigar lounge, and we're all Browns fan in there, except for like 2 or 3 people. And they are yucking it up the whole time. And we were just like, man, we just walked out after that game. We like, you know, I said, congratulations, whatever, fuck, you know, whatever. And I just left. It was like, what the fuck? I mean, everybody was just, the wind got knocked out of us.
Okay, guys. So Tennessee Titans coming to town on Sunday. They got their running back, Derrick Henry. Okay. We got to shut him down. What I've seen out of the defense, I think they can. Okay.
You think we can?
I think we can limit Derrick Henry. I don't think you're going to stop a guy like Derrick Henry all day long. So you got to be on your game in the passing game. I think we dodged a bullet because Greg Newsom looked like he got a stinger, but that's all it was because he was back in the game. But the secondary's got to stay healthy.
Excuse me.
And now Ryan Tannehill, they can say what they want about him being pedestrian quarterback, but he's got a deep ball that don't quit. Okay.
And, yeah, they're 1-1 just like us.
Well, they're 1-1 just like us, except that they're getting good quarterback play. We're not.
Yeah. Tannehill still?
Yeah. Tannehill. Yes. It's Tannehill. And it's going to be Tannehill as long as he can walk in that city, because you can say what you want to. Everybody always comes back and says, well, what are they going to do? They're not really in love with Tannehill. The hell they're not. He just keeps winning for him.
Mm.
I mean, you wish you could get consistent play like they're getting out of Tannehill. Okay. I'm just saying. Anyway, it's,
I think we can get it together and win that game.
Well, it'd be good. It'd be good to be 2-1. Because the Browns have to come out of the first four games of this season no worse than 2-2, and quite frankly, they need to be 3-1 or better. They can't be better. They can't be 3-1 or better, or they can't be or better because they've already lost the one game that they could lose. Excuse me, say again.
Okay, I think we're in third place because Pittsburgh Steelers are 1-1 at home and we're 1-0.
Right.
That doesn't make sense. Okay.
The Steelers beat us, so they
the have Steelers to be beat us head to head. That's why we're behind them.
You always get the run up on the team that you have the advantage on. So if you beat that team if it's not a split, then you're ahead of them.
That's okay.
If you're tied, you're ahead.
So Jeff, what do you think? Okay. The Titans coming to town. What are we looking to see?
Well, we should win it. I mean, it's a
very winnable game.
Before the Steelers game, I was of the opinion that this way the schedule's tailored, we could possibly come out of this 6-0 easily, just by playing. And then after watching the first game and seeing how the defense played, I can't understand how 6-0 still isn't possible. Okay. We did lose though. Okay.
Well, but now 5-1 is possible, right?
Well, 5-1 is possible. There's no reason we can't go 5-1. Actually, the Steelers game is still proof of it. The defense is there. We just got to score points, man. Just got to score points.
Do we want to predict the score by any chance or no?
No, I don't. No. I can't. I can't predict that the Browns are going to score. What?
San Francisco is going to be a challenge.
Yeah, but they're down the road some. Look,
yeah.
Let me tell you something. Brock Purdy being what he is for the 49ers, there's one thing he's got to do. And look, in his first six games as the starter, he proved he couldn't do it. He's got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Okay. You can't contribute if you're not on the field.
Right.
And if Brock Purdy's not there, Jimmy Garoppolo's gone, Trey Lance is gone, who's the backup in San Francisco?
Right.
So it's logically what should have happened. Okay. We should have beat the Steelers and we should be playing the Titans. That's a game we should win. We should be 3-0 going into the Ravens and going, okay, let's keep it going. Okay.
Right.
And then going into the 49ers and going, let's keep it going one more time. And then hitting the Colts and Seahawks, which are games I think we should win.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Colts, Seahawks are both. I mean, those are both. And see, here's what you worry about with the Browns now in the state they're in. Some of these games that you're just penciling in saying, yeah, we'll beat them. I don't know so much now because you don't have that. See, the one thing you don't have is the old reliable factor anymore. Because you get a little lead, you know, three-point lead in the third quarter, and you got Nick Chubb, that's a little easier to ice away than what we obviously weren't able to do without
it.
And you can hand the ball to Jerome Ford all day long, three times in a row. And what's that going to do? It's going to get Bajorquez work. Okay.
I mean, the other way to look at it is this, is exactly what you're saying. You look at Nick Chubb's stats when he went down, 10 carries, 6.4, right?
Yeah.
That means he was getting four first downs. He's leading you to first downs. You get another back in there, he's getting you more mundane, regular average stats, okay?
Yeah.
Well, then you need more than average play from somewhere
else.
Remember,
we used to talk about this back in the old days of this Browns Fans podcast. Me and Alva would talk. 3 yards a carry. You remember, you guys remember Ruben Drones, right?
Yep, right.
Yeah, he had 1,000 yards, man. Did on 2.9 yards a carry. Do you know how many goddamn times you give the ball to Ruben Drones 3 times in a row and don't get a first down to do that? Okay.
Right.
And so that 4 yards a carry is the minimum you want to see a running back at to be successful, because at 4 yards a carry, you give him the ball 3 times, you got a first down. Well, exactly. Nick Chubb at 5+ yards a carry, you give him the ball twice in a 3-down set and you got a first down.
Yep. Many times on the first carry.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but you don't get that out of the average back in this league.
No. So, real quick, you said he was in the emergency room for the artery problem.
No. I didn't say anything. I said there was a post on Facebook that said Nick Chubb was in the ICU having emergency surgery because there was an artery problem. Okay. I have not been able to confirm that anywhere else.
Okay.
Just one random post on Facebook. So I wouldn't even have mentioned it on this podcast had you not mentioned it, because to me, that's not news. Okay. Not news if you can't confirm it somewhere else from a trusted independent source. And that is not. So we don't know. It is conceivable, given the nature of Nick Chubb's injury, there was some blood vessel damage. Okay.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you that's what the deal. And there was a post on Facebook, and posts on Facebook, by the way, we should have learned this from the election cycle, guys. Posts on Facebook are not news.
No.
Okay.
Nope, they are not.
Nope, they are not. Just saying is all. So, having said that, is there anything else to say for the good of the order, the good of the team, or what you hope happens, or anything? Other than that, we're going to get the heck on out of Dodge.
Yeah, Browns win so I can take care of my emotional state.
Okay. Well, I'll give you that. I'll give you. All right.
I would go, I think the Browns are going to win. I think they're going to win because they should win. I'm expecting Watson said the right things. I'm expecting him to now make the improvements and like do the right things. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. I need less of the right words and more of the right actions.
Yeah. Right. I mean, this is where you get to see like, you know, let's look at last year, right? Aaron Rodgers started off pretty bad. He ended that season.
Yes, he did. Yes,
he ended that season looking like an MVP though.
No, right. Exactly. But he did what Aaron Rodgers always did do when he was looking bad. He said, relax. I got this.
I mean, whatever it is he has to do to get his mojo back, that's what he has to do. Okay.
Well, I'm thinking that the way Deshaun gets his mojo back, he can't do it anymore. He needs
a
freaky massage.
Girlfriend? Did you see the guy's girlfriend?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure he can get the massage he needs. Yeah. So, okay. That's not an excuse.
Okay. Okay. Because I'm like, I'm thinking he gets his mojo. No, I don't know. Anyway. Whoo. All I know is that for every day that Deshaun Watson fails, or even if it's not failure, that he does not succeed, an infinite number of people are happy because they want him to fail.
Oh, yeah. Look, I was going to make a joke here. I was going to say, look, the Browns front office, if that's what it is, they probably need to
hire a masseuse.
No, absolutely not. They do not need to do that. That's getting too deep. All they need to do is, hey, Deshaun, what's your girlfriend's name? This her? Look, on behalf of the Browns, we would like to extend whatever we can to get you lessons, get you the experience you need.
Yeah, it's whatever you need, school or whatever.
So that your hands are the of the professional grade that's needed to make sure this man has what he needs to perform.
Well, the only big thing, when the towel slips away, he says, "Oh, would you look at that? My towel slipped away." You know, remember your part. Remember your
part. Right.
And that's what it takes, man. That's what it takes.
Okay.
Whatever it takes. That's it. So, having said that, well, it's now time. Now it's time to say goodbye to another episode of TBF, a Browns fans podcast. Oh, you know, at this time next week, what are we going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about how the Browns defended home against the Tennessee Titans, shut down Derrick Henry, scored 28 points, and held him to 3, right? Right?
Right.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay. Anyway, having said that, in the meantime, the in-between time, and until it's that time, what time's that? Time for us to get together and talk about another Cleveland Browns victory. This is Paul, Jeff, and Hugh for TBF, a Browns fans podcast, saying we're out.
Production.